Thank you very much for the invitation. So it's pretty annoying that the visa is long delayed, but it's glad that we can talk through the Skype. Okay, so today I will talk about the emergent Dirac fermions in the composite fermion liquids. So I will start with a brief introduction to the composite fermion liquid state. This is the gapless state that two-dimensional interaction electrons in magnetic field can occur. There are basically two theories for the composite fermion liquid state. One is the Heppling-Lee-Reed theory. I will call it the HRS theory for short. This theory was proposed 25 years ago. Another theory was proposed by Song 3 years ago. It's about the according to Song, there's emergent low energy. At low energy, there is an emergent relativistic particles. And the second part of the talk, I will tell you our numerical works about detecting some important features in the Song's theory. And in the third part, I will tell you a story about the emergent Dirac fermions at the other filling fractions. Basically, Song only considers the emergent Dirac fermion theory at one-half, because the one-half filling has a very special symmetry called the particle hole symmetry. But in principle, the composite fermion liquid can also occur at, for example, one-quarter filling and a three-quarter filling. And in the third part, I will propose a generalized Song's theory, and I will support my theory with numerical evidence. Okay, so depends on the details of interactions and the filling fractions, which is the number of electrons divided by number of flux quanta. Two-dimensional interacting electrons in the magnetic field can have many phases. And if you tune the at fixed particle density, if you tune the strength of the magnetic field and measure the rho xx and the rho xy, which is the transversal and the longitudinal resistance, and you will find if you find a plateau in the rho xy, it means that there are gapped phase there. And otherwise, it's a gapless phase. And the gapped phase has a very rich physical phenomena. I think perhaps the Laughlin state is, sorry? No question?
No.
Okay. Perhaps the Laughlin state is one of the most interesting state. It has a billion topological order, and the low energy degree freedom is described by Chen Simon's theory, and the age is compound field theory. And the Mollier state is more interesting. Its excitation carries non-Abelian statistics, and it can be proposed to be a platform for quantum computation. But today I will not focus on the gapped quantum state, but I will focus on the gapless quantum state. And the Fermi liquid, comes to Fermi liquid state, is one of the gapless states. So the understanding of the comes to Fermi liquid, the first understanding is due to the Heppling-Lee and the Reed. So let's consider one-half filling. For example, you have three particles in six orbital. And if you do attach each particle with two flux quanta, you form a composite object. This is called a composite fermions. And because the particles are attached with two flux quanta, the composite fermions is still has Fermi Dirac statistics. And the gapless state was explained as a Fermi C of such composite fermions. And formally, the Heppling-Lee and the Reed, they start from exact singular gauge transformation, and they map the interacting problem, interacting fermions problem to a problem of composite fermions. And the assumption is that the midfield ground state is a Fermi C of the composite fermions, and the real ground state and the low energy excitations can be obtained on top of the midfield state, and by adding the perturbations on the gauge fields and the interactions perturbatively. And this Heppling-Lee theory is very successful. It produced many experimental observables. that is agree with the experiment. But there's one subtle issue is about the particle hole symmetry, which turns out to be very important at one-half Fini fraction. So so you know that the electron's kinetic energy forms a Landau level after quantization, and the Landau level gap is proportional to the magnetic field. It's much larger than, if it's much larger, typically it is, much larger than the interaction scale, then the physics is happened basically inside a single Landau level. And your problem is becomes a degenerate perturbation theory problem in a single Landau level for non-commutative guiding centers, because the electrons coordinate after projection becomes non-commutative guiding centers. And the particle hole symmetry, a particle hole transformation is a transformation that exchanges electrons and holes, and it's anti-unitary because you want to invert this guiding center algebra. And it maps the Landau level filling from nu to 1 minus nu. So at a 1/2 filling, this it maps the Landau level filling 1/2 to 1/2 itself. And if your projected Hamiltonian is purely two-type, two-body type, no matter it's Couriel interactions or model interactions, as long as it's two-body, then it's pretty easy to prove that this Hamiltonian is invariant after under the particle hole transformation, which means that the particle hole symmetry is a Hilbert space symmetry. So any low energy effective theory must be consistent with this this particle hole symmetry, but it's not superficially. It's not straightforward to see why the HR theory is consistent with particle hole symmetry. Basically, you attach flux to electrons rather than attach flux to holes. So it's hard to see why a fermacy of Coombs fermions is equivalent as a fermacy of Coombs holes. So actually, this motivated Song to consider an alternative low energy theory. And according to him, the Fermi C is not formed by Schrödinger fermions, but formed by Dirac fermions. And this is the action provided by Sohm. This action is pretty interesting. And this is an example of the fermionic duality. And this is easy to, one of the way to see this duality is to take the variations. You will find that the Dirac fermions density is just determined by the external magnetic field, and the U1 magnetic field is as a the physical fermion density is proportional to the magnetic field the Dirac fermion sees. So basically, the law of the magnetic field as the law of density is swapped. This is a feature of duality, and because of this, if you do particle hole transformation on the physical fermions. And Dirac fermions sees a time reversal transformation. So that's why even you have a finite chemical potential, this picture is still consistent with the particle hole symmetry because Dirac fermions transforms in a way like time reversal. And interestingly, when you move a Dirac fermion around the Fermi C, the theory predicts that there is a pi bariface. So do I have any comments or questions? Okay, so actually this is the relation between the Hall conductivity and pi and the Fermi C bariface is more general. It's proposed that the Hall conductivity is proportional to the bariface acquired when you move quasi particles for a cycle around the Fermi surface. So at 1/2, the Hall conductivity is 1/2 fixed by particle hole symmetry, and the Fermi C bariface is pi. And at 1/4, the Hall conductivity is 1/4 filling is 1/4, and the Fermi C bariface should be pi over 2.
Sorry.
And
just to clarify, is rho h the Hall conductivity of the electron or of the composite fermion?
Yeah, electron, electrons.
Electron.
Right. And this can be the first argument was proposed by Duncan. And if you think of the the semi-classical equation motion of the quasi-particles. The quasi-particles will see a Barry curvature as a K-space magnetic field. And you integrate the equation motion, you will get that the Hall conductivity is related to the Fermi C-Barry phase.
So well,
okay, so the at one half Fermi.
Questions? So sorry? If you have quantum fluctuations, let's say the fluctuation of gauge field, would this picture be destroyed?
Yeah, so this is this is a, I think it's a mean field statement. It's some argument, right? So based on the quasi particle pictures.
Okay, so it's unclear about the effect of gauge fluctuation.
Sorry.
So it's unclear about the effect of gauge fluctuation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at one half, the pi bar phase was first indirectly measured in a density matrix renormalization group study, and Scott and other collaborators, they measured the density correlation function, and they find that the peak of the density correlation function is missing at the momentum equals to 2 kF. Which means that the scattering process across the Fermi C is forbidden. And this is due to the reason that the Fermi C carries a pi Barry phase. So the question is, can we directly measure the Fermi C Barry phase and see what is the Barry curvature that's carried by the Fermi C? So I will tell you first, in the second part, I will tell you how our numerical work about detecting the Barry curvature. So let's first think of, recall the Barry phase for the Broca wave. So it's nothing but you take the periodic part of the Broca wave and you do this product. And this can be interpreted as you take the Broca wave but insert in the middle a density matrix. So the single body Barry phase can really be thought of as a product of the matrix element of the density matrix. So in the many body case, what we take is take a many body wave function, and similarly we insert in the middle a density matrix, and we think this is a very natural generalization of the Barry phase from a single body system to a many body system. And the density matrix is a density matrix projected into a lowest and low level. So it's pretty crucial that density matrix now is something that's not commutative. It satisfies a GMP algebra. So what we will do is we start from a field Fermi C. We have one extra Compson fermion excited out, and we will move the Compson fermions around and to see the Barry phase. And the many body state in this work will be found from the exact diagonalization and from the model wave functions. So the model wave function we all use is essentially a transcription of the HLS idea. The key ingredient is the flex attachment, which is done by the Jastrow factor, and the determinant, which tells you it's a Fermi C. And in the end of the day, we need to project everything into the lowest null level. So we first pull the Jastrow factor inside the determinant, and then we approximate the null level projection by creating dipoles. As I will see, dipole is a pretty fundamental object in the lowest null level. So to get a torus wave function, we need to replace all the polynomials with elliptic functions. So usually people use the Jacobi-Seda functions to write down a torus quantum wave function, but now we found we can equivalently use a Weierstrass sigma function. And the advantage of using the Weierstrass sigma function is that it's a modular invariant. And to take into account the topological degeneracy on the torus, we need to insert a center of mass piece in the wave function. So this is our model wave function. So Z is electron's coordinate, and alpha is not variational parameter. It tells you the topological sector you are working on. And the wave function depends on a set of discretized variational parameter, where I denote here as a D, which is a dipole. Its physical meaning is a Compson fermion's dipole. So it's pretty fundamental that any dipolar electrons in a magnetic field will move perpendicular to the dipole direction. So the kinetic momentum and
just to clarify, I understand. So alpha, you said it's it labels the topological sector.
Yes.
So do you mean you treat the z minus z square as kind of some Laughlin wave function? So that gives you some topological degeneracy, and alpha is labeling that, or?
So the Antares guaranteed by translation group, they are always 2n for the degeneracy. If your filling fraction is 1/2m, it's true for gap state and it's true for gapless state as well. So can you say it again? What's your question?
I see what you're saying. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So for Laughlin state, the 1/3 state, you have three degenerate ground state. And if you consider a clean system, it's not only a degeneracy on the ground state, but also indeed it's a spectrum degeneracy. And for the 1/2m Compton Fermi liquid state, there are 1/2m fold degeneracy. They have exactly the same energy. So it's called a center of mass because it depends on the center of mass location.
Okay. Can you explain this dipole D variable a little bit more? Like, where is this coming from?
Where what comes from?
This dipole variable D.
D, yeah. Where the D comes from?
Yeah.
Okay, so D basically comes from this K. K is the momentum of the Compson fermion. And if you do lambda level projection, you should replace the Z star with the partial of Z, right? And if you're acting the partial of Z on Z, it's doing a translation. So you, as I will say, that the momentum of the Compton fermion is related to the dipole. So the D comes from the momentum of the Compton fermions.
Okay.
Does this explain your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. So it's pretty fundamental that the Compton fermions, dipole and momentum are locked together. So like the momentum quantization in the torus, the dipoles are quantized to take a discretized value. And you can put the momentums to form a Fermi C, and the Compton Fermi liquid is really a Fermi C of dipoles. Okay, so it's pretty surprising that this model wave function, which is essentially a translation of the HLRS idea, has a very large particle hole symmetry when your Fermi C is compact, like in the left panel. But on the right panel, the Fermi C is, or the discretized variational variable is not compact, then the particle symmetry is pretty low. So here is a few examples. The first two has a compact Fermi C, and you can find the particle hole symmetry is very high, and the overlap with the ED ground state is very high. So the ED ground state is a cooling interactions at 1/2 filling in the lowest lambda level, and we know that this gives you the Compton Fermi liquid state.
Sorry,
so since the ED ground state
is ground state, you mean ED ground state with a specific momentum?
Yes, exactly. The momentum can be counted from the dipole configurations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the many body momentum, the many body momentum is basically the sum of the dipoles.
Okay.
So the ED state is obtained from the cooling interaction. It's two body interaction. As I said, any two body interactions, its ground state is exactly particle symmetric. So the ED particle symmetry is one. So if your model wave function has very large overlap with ED, then this particle symmetry should be very high. So the third and fourth picture represents not compact Fermi C, and the overlap is pretty low, and the particle symmetry is lower.
Okay.
Actually, can you comment a little bit about the fourth one? I mean, it looks pretty particle specific.
I think it's just some numerical artifact.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not general ratio. It's just a numerical accident.
Okay.
So then we calculate the computation of the Barry phase. We move the Compser fermions around the Fermi C and plug into our Barry phase formula. And we find the Barry phase is interesting. It has two parts. And the first part is a path-dependent part. And it depends on the number of clockwise paths and the number of anti-clockwise paths. So in the first case, the n plus is 8, the n minus is 0. And in the second case, is n plus is 6, n minus is 0. And here, the n minus is 1. So we believe that the path dependence feature comes from our definition, because we use the non-commutative density operators. So we believe that this path dependence is related to the non-commutativity of the density operator. So the more interesting piece is
so there is no microscopic derivation at this point, or what?
So at this point, it's just the phenomenological observation. We don't really know how the non-commutativity can lead to such path dependence.
Okay.
And for this, the second piece is a Z2 piece. So whenever your path enclose the Fermi C center, it's pi phase. The phase is pi, otherwise the phase is zero. So this Z2 phase is a strong support for the Schoen's Dirac picture, because according to Schoen, the Fermi C is the Fermi C of Dirac fermions, and the Dirac fermions implies that the Barry curvature is actually a pi singularity at the Fermi C center. So I will tell you a little one mathematical statement that we find pretty interesting. Basically, we have a lattice reformulation of the continuous torus quantum Hall problem. So you know the torus, if you put the quantum Hall problem, it's a continuous problem, and we find that if you put the quantum Hall on the torus, there exists a lattice reformulation. So here is what is the more details about the lattice representation. So the bottom line is that if you want to compute any observables where O is translational invariant operators, if you want to calculate energy, O is the Hamiltonian. If you want to calculate a structural factor, O is the density correlation. So by definition, you need to compute an integration. But we find that on the torus, if you do a lattice sum, this gives you identical results as the integral up to some trivial constant, because the wave function is always normalized, so the constant is canceled. So this actually comes from the observation that on the torus, because of the finite size effect, you can never get a really uniform quantum Hall state. It's always charge density wave. So, but this is pretty surprising that if you take one each point on the grid, then you do the lattice sum, you get identical results as an integration. And the proof of this amazing lattice representation is just guaranteed by the magnetic translation group. So it applies to both gapped and gapless state as long as it's a clean system.
Sorry.
So one application is the Monte Carlo. We can,
replace finite torus. You always get the CDW.
Yes, because of the finite size effect, you cannot get a really uniform state. It's always there's always some patterns. The pattern has n phi times 1/n phi has a period of 1/n phi. So if you're magnetic flux quantum goes to infinity, it will be uniform. Yeah, so this is due to the finite size effect. But certainly if you take the n phi goes to infinity, it's uniform.
Okay.
So the application is the Monte Carlo. So basically the old Monte Carlo just a sample in the continuum And we now we know that the sample in the continuum is pretty redundant. So based on this new technique, we can investigate the barrier phase on a much larger system size than the ED can do. So here we repeat the barrier phase calculations a Fermi C that consists of 69 counter fermions. And the prediction from our empirical formula is that the ABC should give you a pi barrier phase, and the D gives you a zero barrier phase. And the Monte Carlo result is pretty close to the prediction, but not exactly. This is because the model wave function is not exactly particle symmetric. It's very close to be particle Hall symmetric. So so the Z2 fact can also be kind of argued from a microscopic point of view. And the statement is as follows. If your Fermi C has an even number of electrons, and if your total momentum sums to zero, in other words, your Fermi C is inversion symmetric. Then particle Hall symmetry will swap the inversion eigenpartners. So usually your ground state has some inversion quantum number, is either plus or minus. You have to go very high energy to find its inversion partner. But in this case, with the inversion symmetric Fermi C and the even number of electrons, the particle hole swaps the inversion partners. And if your particle hole is a symmetry, this implies that there is an extra degeneracy on your spectrum. So this indeed means that something weird can happen in the Fermi C center. So this is some arguments from the microscopic point of view. Okay, so any questions or comments? Okay. So in the third part, I will tell you a story about the Ali.
Sorry, can I go back one slide? Can I use this argument even with no hole at the center? I mean, as long as it has both particle hole and inversion symmetry, I'll
yes,
this, right.
Yeah, you can imagine a process. You move a hole around a curve, and whenever you put a hole in the center, there is extra degeneracy, which means that the center is something that forbids that tells you the difference between the paths enclosed or not enclosed the center.
Okay, good.
So let's give you some comments on the half field case. So if you just look at the definition of the many body barrier phase, and then note that the density operator is odd on the particle Hall transformation, you will find that if your system is particle Hall symmetric, which means that your wave function is invariant at the particle transformation, then the barrier phase can only be plus or minus I or plus or minus one, just by trivial operator insertion. This means that the barrier curvature must be quantized. It cannot be uniform by particle Hall symmetry. So the question is, the half-field level question, the problem is really about whether you have a single pi flux quantum or three pi flux quantum, and where the location of the pi flux quantum is. And the answer is only there after doing numerics, as we showed that it is a single pi flux quantum at the Fermi C center, agree with the Sohn-Strzok fermion theory. So this pi barrier curvature is some hidden properties in the Halperin-Lee-Reed formulations. So if you take the bare electron's mass goes to zero, you effectively project the Halperin-Lee-Reed theory to a lowest null level. And as I said, two-body interaction should give you particle Hall symmetric Hilbert space. So Halperin-Lee theory, in principle, must be particle Hall symmetric. it is just not so obvious why this is consistent with particle hole symmetry or not. So in this sense, Song's Dirac fermion theory is a better theory that he captures this information just at the midfield level. And at 1/2 in the particle hole symmetry and the pi Barry singularity, they coincide. And in other words, the Barry curvature tells you a lot of information about this phase. But suppose you start from a particle hole symmetric half field on a level problem, and you turn on a little bit particle hole symmetry breaking interactions. The pi Barry singularity will be broadened to a strong peak in the Fermi-C center. So this is what we observed in the model wave function. So in this sense, the Barry curvature is also characterize this phase. So now the question is really about what's happening at 1/4. You don't have particle symmetry, but you have Barry curvature. So the question is what information the Barry curvature can tell you in the 1/4 state. So let's think of the 1/4 state and the 3/4 state first. According to the Heppner-Lee Reed picture, the 1/4 state is a Fermi-C of composite fermions, and the 3/4 state is a Fermi-C of composite holes. And they are related by a particle hole transformation. And it's pretty not known that what's happening in the Dirac fermion picture. But we are lucky that, independent on the nature of the composite fermions, whether it's Schrödinger type or Dirac type, we know something that is independent on this nature. This is the Fermi-C size. This is guaranteed by the Luttinger hypothesis. And the Luttinger theorem is a theorem for the Landau Fermi liquid, but we know that the composite fermion is not the Landau Fermi liquid, it's a non-Fermi liquid. So we don't call it a Luttinger theorem, we call it a Luttinger hypothesis. But nevertheless, the Luttinger hypothesis is something that we can test in numerics. So here is a numerical test. We take a 1/4 model wave function, and we compute the structure factors, the density-density correlation functions. And the dot is the data obtained by numerics, and the red line is the prediction of the Fermi-C, or the KF, from the Luttinger hypothesis. So we find that there is a great agreement with Luttinger hypothesis. So we can generally believe that the Luttinger hypothesis is true. So by Luttinger hypothesis, it tells us that 1/4 state and the 3/4 state, they must have the identical, they must have the same size of the Fermi-C. And this is independent on the nature of whether the composite fermions is a Schrödinger fermion or Dirac fermion. So now let's look at what's happening from the Dirac picture if we lower or increase the particle density from 1/2 to 1/4 or 3/4. So we should expect two things to happen. So first, the Fermi-C size should shrink. This is according to the Luttinger hypothesis. So the second is because you go away from the charge neutrality point, which is 1/2, then Dirac fermions will see a magnetic field. At one quarter state, the magnetic field will be positive, and 3/4 state, the magnetic field will be negative. And let's see whether the Song's Dirac fermion picture theory will give you this picture or not. So if you start from 1/2 Song's theory, and if you want to look at the 1/4 or 3/4, you should add a mass term of the Dirac fermion and the Chern Simons term because you don't have particle symmetry. And the Dirac fermion's density is easily obtained by just taking variations. And just by the Luttinger hypothesis, it tells you that the Dirac fermion density should be 1/2 m if you're working at 1/2 m filling and its particle conjugate. So the bottom line is that just by requiring a Luttinger hypothesis, you will find that the Chern Simons level is already quantized, and it is +0.5 if the filling is lower then 1/2, it's minus half, it's a filling, it's above 1/2. And this quantization is independent on the M. And it's fixed by particle hole symmetry to be zero at 1/4, at 1/2. So 1/2 Chen Simons level is pretty normal in the condensed matter. Since you don't have particle hole symmetry, the drag fermions opens a mass gap. And since you are looking for a theory describing the Fermi C, you should integrate out the variance band of the drag Cs. And this 1/2 and the minus 1/2 comes from the variance band. And the sign depends on whether the mass gap is positive or negative. And in the end of the day, I will argue that the band curvature is very small. And basically, this should goes to zero in the thermodynamic limit. So since you are not at 1/2 filling, the drag fermions will see a magnetic field. And the effective filling for the drag fermions is easily obtained if you do some calculations. So you find that if your physical filling fractions is 1/2 m, then the effective filling for the drag fermion is 2m-2. And if you're working on the 3/4 state, the effective filling is just the opposite of that. So the effective filling of the drag fermions is still an even denominator, which means that if you do a flux attachment transformation, the drag fermions will see no net magnetic field. I will propose a unified theory that unifies all the constant Fermi liquids as follows. At 1/2, according to Sohm, it's a gapless drag fermions, and the Fermi C is a bare drag fermions. And 1/4 and 3/4, it's a Fermi C of flux attached drag fermions. And 1/4 and 3/4 state, they are related by time reversal symmetry, because the drag fermions are attached with the same amount but opposite direction of flux.
Are you going to explain why M is small now? Or?
Explain what?
Are you going to explain why M is small?
Oh yeah, I will explain that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will first show you some numerical evidence for this. It comes from the Barry curvature distribution. So repeating the 1/2 Barry phase calculation, I can do the same Barry phase calculation for 1/4 state. And there are two key points. The first is that if I move the constant fermions along the red line, I get pi/2 Barry phase within the numerical precision. This is pretty agree with the relation that the Barry phase is proportional to the Hall conductivity. And the second is that I can map out the Barry curvature by taking many paths on the Fermi C. And after a linear regression, I map out the Barry curvature, and the Barry curvature distribution is pretty interesting. So first, I observe a very strong peak in the Fermi C center for 1/4 state. And the second, the rest minus pi/2 Barry phase is basically uniformly distributed on the Fermi C. So this actually can be explained from the flux attachment drag fermion picture in the following way. As I said, the dipole structure is pretty fundamental in the lowest Landau level. So after the Landau level projection, the drag fermions will have not only a spin orbital locking, but also a dipole momentum locking. And what the Landau level projection is doing is that it moves the flux attachment center away from the drag fermions to form a dipole. And the dipole direction is perpendicular to the kinetic momentum's direction. And when you move a drag fermions on the Fermi C, the spin of the locking tells you that there should be a pi singularity at the Fermi C center. This is the same story as Sohm's 1/2 Felix. And the dipole momentum locking, as I will argue, will give you a uniform Barry curvature. Because when you move a drag fermion in the K space, the dipole momentum locking induces a charge to move in the real space. And the real space is a flux attachment drag fermions. And this according to the Abramov Bohm effect, this gives you a area proportional biphase. So which implies that the k-space bicurve is uniform. Do you have any comments? So now I will tell you why the mass should be zero. The bottom line is that this is constrained by the Fermi seed biphase. So the finite mass term will tilt the Dirac fermion spin away from the 2D plane. And if your mass term is finite, then the spin of the locking gives you approximately pi biphase. And the dipole momentum locking should give you 2 pi nu minus pi biphase in accordance with the half filling this contribution is zero. So if your Fermi C biphase is 2 pi nu, this tells you that the spin of the locking should give you exactly pi biphase at the Fermi C center, which implies that the mass term should be very small or vanish. This is also what I see in the numerics. There is a strong pi peak in the center.
Sorry, can you explain a little bit more what the dipole, the biphase from the curvature from the dipole momentum locking? Why is
yes.
It?
So the when you move a Dirac fermion in the k space,
yeah.
The k rotates, right? And this, because dipole momentum locking, it induces the dipole to rotate in the real space, or the charge to rotate in the real space.
Yeah.
And because the real space picture is a flux attachment to Dirac fermions, and this state is a uniform state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this gives you an area proportional biphase, proportional to the real space area. And because the dipole momentum locked, the real space area is proportional to the k-space area. So in the end, the biphase contributed from the dipole momentum locking is proportional to the k-space area.
I see. So that's why you say it's uniform. Okay. Okay.
So any other comments? Okay. So this is the final picture. I will propose that it unifies all the comes from a liquid, and the effective action. You can easily get after doing a singular gauge transformation that transforms that get rid of the internal magnetic field. And the action looks like this. And this, the coefficient of the ADA term gives you precisely the Hall conductivity. And I, as I said, the mass term should be turned to zero. So the identical action was also proposed by Goldman and Frentkin just several days after my work. So they are motivated from a different but a complementary point of view about the emergent inversion refraction symmetry. Okay, so the summary is that at one half filling, we define a many-body biphase, and we studied in detail the model wave functions, and we have a lattice reformulation of the quantum Hall problems on the torus. And we use our definition of the many-body biphase to detect the Z2 biphase and kind of suggesting that the HR theory is equivalent as Dirac fermion theory. It's because our model wave function is entirely motivated from the Heppner-Lee rate, and we find a Dirac Z2 feature. This kind of model wave function kind of build a bridge between two theories. And at feeling that go away from one half, we studied the one quarter state as an example. We find there is still a pi phase in the Fermi C center, and together with a uniform barycurvature. And motivated by this numerical observation, I proposed a unified theory that Dirac fermion theory for all the comes of Fermi liquid state. Okay, any questions or comments?
So can you move one slide back? Yeah, just for this action, I suppose when you write that Dirac action, you really mean a Dirac, but with that tiny uniform, extra uniform barycurvature under the fermacy, or is that what you mean?
Can I say that again?
So that Dirac term, I suppose you mean the Dirac, it's a Dirac Fermi surface, Dirac Fermi C, but plus that extra uniform Berry curvature underneath. Is that what you mean, or it's?
I think the uniform Berry curvature is implied from this theory. So from my point of view, the Fermi C of one quarter state is formed by flux attached to Dirac fermions. So basically, if you start from 1/2 in and you do flux attachment, internal gauge flux attachment, you will end up with this effective theory.
Oh,
and
so,
my numerical.
So that Dirac is literally Dirac.
Yes, it is indeed a Dirac, and this numerical evidence can be explained from this picture.
I see.
So that's why I believe that this theory makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, this theory is consistent with many other constraints, for example, Luttinger theorem, which is one of the most important constraints.
Why do you say that it's an important constraint? I mean, if it's a Fermi surface formed by the actual electrons, I understand what you're talking about.
Yes.
But these are. You know, emergent particles that doesn't even necessarily carry a unit charge.
Right, right.
Why?
So as I said, this is something that you can test numerically. This is a numerical supportance for the Luttinger hypothesis.
All right, that's for 1/4. Do you have data for 3/4?
No, I don't have a wave function for 3/4. But the structure factor, the peak of structure factor is invariant on the particle Hall transformation.
So why don't you have wave function for 3/4? Can you just take the particle Hall conjugate of the 1/4 one? And...
Yes, but to get the first quantized 3/4 model wave function is not that hard. It is not that easy.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So there are two ways to do particle Hall transformation on wave functions. The first is you go into the second quantized basis, and you invert 0 and 1. Right.
Right. Right.
But this is you need to project the wave function into a second quantized basis. This is not easy. The second way to do the particle transformation is just projecting the wave function into an integer quantum Hall wave function. Right. This is also not easy for Monte Carlo.
Okay.
So 3/4 state, the model wave function is not easy to get. But we know that the structure factor, the peak of structure factor, must be invariant on the particle Hall transformation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so there are several interesting future questions to ask. The first is that it's not generally believed that at 1/2, the Heppelin-Lead theory is equivalent as Sohn's Dirac fermion theory. So you can list, you can have a list of observables and compute the observables from both hand side, you'll get identical results. So the future interesting thing, one of the future interesting thing to do is to compute the observables from the Heppelin-Lead theory and the flux attachment theory. And it's a conjecture that they are pretty equivalent. And the second is that since I observed that the barycurvature distribution is pretty non-trivial, it carries a pi flux in the center and a uniform barycurvature in the k-space. So the question is, how can we measure this in the experiment? So you know the Hall conductivity relates the baryphase or the Fermi-C baryphase. Maybe the high order response can tell you something about the distribution of the barycurvature. And the third is that what's the low energy theory for bosons? So it's a comes from a liquid state that can occur at the order denominator Fini fractions. And more interestingly, there's a lot of experiments and numerical works on the T-Fabian state. And the T-Fabian state can be understood as the S-wave pairing of dark fermions. And some numerical works shows that the T-Fabian state is really gapless or with a small gap. So it's interesting to investigate whether it's indeed a gapped state or not. And also, it will be interesting to look at the boundary modes of the T5-fin. There are some numerical evidence showing that the boundary fluctuation of the T5-fin will destroy the particle hole symmetry. So, and whether it's possible to prove that all quantum Hall states, if you have translation symmetry and particle hole symmetry, can or cannot, they can be gapless. Okay, so this is my talk. Thank you.
Questions. So for the composite fermion,
Fermi liquid at 1/4 filling, how important is it to project it to the lowest Landau level?
For
what? 1/4 filling.
1/4 state at the Fermi liquid at 1/4 filling. How important it is to project it into the Landau level?
Yeah,
that's my question. Yeah.
So I think experimentally, if you put electrons at 1/4 filling in the original level, you still observe a Fermi liquid state. That is the 1/4 comes to Fermi liquid state. And this state is defined as a lowest Landau level state for cooling interactions.
Yeah, but in principle, you can have Landau level
mixing without destroying that state. Right.
So for 1/2 filling, I understand that you can only have particle symmetry once you project it to a lowest Landau level.
Right.
And then the very first quantize that you get
is the Fermi picture.
But for 1/4 filling, you don't have particle symmetry anyway. So my question is it important to project to a lowest Landau level?
Yeah, so I think my answer is that I think the cooling interaction gives you the comes to Fermi liquid state at 1/4.
Yeah.
So you can diagnose the cooling interactions in different K sectors, and you compare the model wave function's energy. You find that it's similar to the 1/2 state. The energies are very close, which means that the cooling 1/4 ground state is also a comes to Fermi liquid state. And certainly, 1/4 state is not protected by particle hole symmetry or something. But there are some evidence about the refraction symmetry, and this is indeed the motivation that Goldman and Frentkin to propose the identical theories for that. there are two gene theories that are going approach to the 1/4 comes from a liquid state, and if you measure the E and J response of the gene series, you will find that basically there is somehow emerging the refraction symmetry relating them.
So are you suggesting that if I think about the 1/4 composite Fermi liquid state, even without projecting to the lowest Landau level, I still should see the Berry curvature pattern you see?
I don't know, but what I did is based on a model wave function that is explicitly in the lowest Landau level.
Right.
I don't know how the Landau level mixing will affect the Berry phase.
Okay.
There is some work in the James group that they talk about the effect of Landau level mixing, but I don't know. In the limit of the magnetic field goes to much larger than the interaction scale, then the problem is essentially a lowest Landau level problem. Right. Landau level mixing effect is negligible.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. If not, let's thank Jay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.